You're listening to a podcast from 702.
This Women's Month.
702 salutes the women who marched and fought for equality in 1956.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
So on that subject of raising our boys to treat girls better, a bit of a personal story here. So it comes from, well, my very own home. I really hope my son is not listening at this point. But this is what got me thinking a couple of weeks ago. I had put a little note in my children's lunchboxes on the first day of the new term to say, have a wonderful day, wonderful first day back, see you later, love mum. That was on the Tuesday when they went back. And on the Friday morning, I thought I would do it again. And I wrote, happy Friday, happy with the E-E-E-E all the way, happy Friday, see you later, love mum. So my daughter had acknowledged the note, the first one that I put in the lunchbox on the Tuesday, saying, oh, mum, thank you so much for this note. It was so cute and so lovely. What a nice surprise. And then on that Friday morning, when I put the second note in their lunch boxes, my son came down to have his breakfast. And he looked in his lunch box, obviously, to see what snack I packed for him. And he picked up the note and he says, why do you have to write happy Friday with the E-E-E on it? And I said, well, that's how I feel. I'm feeling really happy. I want you to have a good start to your day. And I said, did you see the one that I actually put in your bag on Tuesday, in your snack bag on Tuesday? He says, yeah, I saw it. He says, it was very nice. He says, but don't do it all the time because it's going to become annoying. And I thought, what do I do with that? Should I be upset? What do I actually do with that? I mean, at the age of 10, it was such a male response. And then, of course, I went into typical mom mode and I said, oh, you'll appreciate these things when I die. And he said to me, but why are you talking about dying now? What's that got to do with anything? So it really got me, it got me thinking about, is this really such a big deal? Am I making too much of a big deal about this? But in that moment, I saw him 10 years from now saying that to his partner or girlfriend and the relationship ending right there. Like, don't do it all the time. It's going to be annoying. And I saw the fight that might come afterwards. And I thought, okay, so here's something that if I ever get the chance to talk about, we will talk about it. You know, it's a typical male response to me. But funny enough, he's the most loving child. He never ever, misses a moment to tell me how much he loves me. He loves hugs. He loves kisses. And I just thought, in this moment, you became such a grown-up boy, and it kind of shocked me, and it amused me as well at the same time. And I wanted to chat about it today, because I said we could talk about raising our daughters, because we know what we're teaching our daughters, right? We're teaching them to be strong. We're teaching them to be confident. We're teaching them to be self-reliant, self-sufficient, to be financially independent. We're teaching them to have boundaries. So we know what we're doing with our daughters as mums. Most of us know what we're doing, and we'll cross our fingers that we're doing the right thing. But I just thought, wow, you know, am I doing the right thing with my son? Is this something I need to fix, or is that something I need to let go? And I thought, who would be the best person, of course, other than his dad, to have that chat with him? Because that's not a reaction his dad would have given either. His dad is very different. He would have loved a note like that as well, as I'm sure my son did. But just, you know, don't do it all the time. It's going to become annoying. So I thought, now, who is the person that we could chat to about how to raise our boys to relate to women better, to understand women better, as you know, a 10-year-old might need to do in 10 years' time. And I thought of this wonderful man I've had conversations with over the years, doing interviews with him. And his name is Charlie Peterson. He's an author. He's written books like Boy Child, You Matter, Growing Up Without a Father. He's a mentor, he's a speaker, and he's the founder of the Growing Up Without a Father Foundation. And that's Charlie Peterson. Charlie, good afternoon, and thanks so much for making the time to talk to us today.
Wednesday, and to you and all the women out there, our mothers, our aunties, our grannies, our sisters, our everything, keep it up, and we are fully behind you, Vivek.
Oh, thank you so much, Charlie. And thank you for the work you do, because, you know, whether we are single moms or whether we have our partners and our husbands and the dads are present, we always need that little bit of help, somebody who's looking in from the outside to tell us what we're doing. Now, I'm not sure if you heard the story about my son and what got me thinking, you know, about the little love notes I put in his snack bag. And I mean, is that something that I need to fix? Or is that typical and normal for a 10-year-old boy?
Don't stop there. on that we need it on the long run. It's only that little bit of ego that we're having, you know, as men and boys. But yeah. I promise you, we appreciate it. And later, Yubeka, what I picked up is that when we become men, we really, you know, we're longing for things like that.
Yes.
And especially when we never had it in the past, you know, when you grew up, your wife must really, you know, that time, the wife must really, you know, that love notes, I love you, everything, you know, men need that to keep them going.
So those nice little surprises, going. Yeah. Yes, okay. Yes. So I'm going to keep on going, even if it annoys him, right?
Yes. Keep on going.
So, you know, Charlie, all the conversations, and we've chatted over the years, we've done lots of interviews together. I've chatted to you a lot, especially around your books as well and what you've written. And you deal a lot with boys who don't have fathers present. But I want to chat to you as somebody who's everybody's dad, right? You are everybody's dad, whether they have their own dads present or they have a father figure in their lives. But, you know, what are we doing? And I'm just looking at what the president is saying on TV at the moment, saying gender-based violence, a stain on our celebrations today, talking about, you know, just the state of women. And you know, you would have read that horrific story of the rape of those 8 women as well. Let's start with why are we not getting this right in terms of who our boys are growing up to be?
Yubeka, you see, I love our country. We're good with talk shows. We're good at waiting for Women's Month, this month, and this month was, you know, we're going to put this in place, we're going to do this. And after that, nothing happened. We need to take this at school level. We need to take this back at church level. We need to take this back at society level, where man needs to man up and come and say, you know, I'll take the role. Because most of these things are happening because of the lack of fathers. I promise you, and the lack of father figures in the life of children. I was with a group of 30 boys now in Brits. You know, we had a men conference, you know, when you start hugging boys, they're not aware what is a hug. Why are you hugging? Is this not for women? You know, smaller things, we need to show that at school level, you know. We're teaching a lot of things that is not in line with how to bring up a society. We need to go back to the basics. You know, when we were small, you know, schools, at our schools, people will come with Colgate. They will come with this thing and show us how to brush our teeth, you know, at that level. You can't go over a stop street without looking to the left or the right or everything. We still remember those things as kids.
Yeah.
We need to go back to the basics where we really show care and love. You know, nowadays it's just about, you know, you need to make 30% to pass and everything. But we're forgetting the basics. That's why most brokenness, a lot of our boys are broken.
Yeah.
And there's too much pressure on the boy child. Too much pressure to do a lot of things. Pressure to do right, and also there's pressure to do wrong things.
And what about emotions? You know, and we were having a chat before the show, and I was talking to the guys on the team, and you know, it seems that the issues are males having to deal with their emotions or not knowing how to deal with their emotions, and the ego that comes with that as well.
100%. You know, in our foundation, we've got a program with 50 life skills that we are teaching boys. The first thing that we teach them is self-love, self-confidence, self-control, expressing and managing emotions, empathy, caring, perseverance, decision-making, choosing the right friends, critical thinking, creative problem-solving, communication, relationship building, stay away from substance abuse, and limiting beliefs. So we concentrate on things like that. You know, if you can focus on self-love, you know, that is the main key that we lack as kids, as boys and girls, the self-love. If we can break that one, you know, trust yourself, you know, have confidence in yourself and move forward, then we'll move forward. What you mentioned is exactly right. This is what we're trying to bring to the boys, you know, is the Growing Up Without a Father Foundation.
Yes. And, you know, Charlie, with your interactions that you were having with these young men, and I just want to make it clear, we're not taking away from, you know, single moms who are trying to do right by their sons. They are doing the best. I mean, they're doing the jobs of 10 people, in one household. They absolutely, I mean, I take my hat off to single moms as well. Mm. But there is something about having a male presence or having a male figure, not necessarily your dad, but a male figure in the family. Yes. In your interactions with these young men at your foundation, how do they actually view women? How do they view girls and women?
You know, how they view girls and women, they view them as people that always look down on them as boys.
Is it?
You know, they better, they can do things better. I think that is the way we raise our girls. You know, you mentioned about, you know, self-confidence and everything. So girls, there's certain things that are already in place for girls that boys lack. So that's why we need to level the playing field that, you know, a girl that is a little bit clever than you is not your enemy. You just have to pull up your socks, because there must be something great in you that girl don't have. That's where you find, Yubeka, that a lot of when you get married to a brilliant woman.
A strong woman,
strong woman, you know, with strong values, you start feeling bad, you know. Because, you know, I used to have a friend in the Free State. I think he married to the premier of the Free State, Pietras Mashoff. But you could see the difference, the power. And the guy that just wants to be there next to his woman, but now you need to be restricted. I said, boy, man, you must have self-confidence. Push up your chest, man. And show them, this is my woman, you know. Don't stand back.
Uh-huh. Okay, so he kind of fell into the shade of that relationship.
100%. Okay. This is what we're picking up. And when you get home, you know, most of our strong women also bring that into the house. You know, saying that, you know, I'm a very strong woman, I'm this and this, and you must just do this and this. I said to the man, you need to take accountability and responsibility in the house.
Yeah.
Show up and show that I am the man in the house, you know. If your wife needs help, you know, in certain instances, help your wife.
Yeah. I think it's very important, Charlie, to say, when you say show that I'm the man in the house, it's you know, that many people could actually take that the wrong way. It doesn't mean that you have to show strength and force, but show leadership. Show that you two can do the dishes. Show that you two have no problem, you know, plugging in the 100%. Vacuum cleaner.
I just clean out the house now because everyone is out. There's no one here. I started, you know, from the bathroom and the washing and everything. So if you come in
well
my
done.
House now,
well no, done.
This is how my single mother raised me and showed me, you know, all what my single mother had imparted in me are coming out now really helpful now since I'm a man.
Absolutely. And I think as mums as well, I don't know if we sometimes take that away from our sons or our boy children in that we don't let them do those things. We don't let them, you know, sort of fold up their own stuff. We automatically feel, and I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that.
No,
is that
we are outsourcing now things.
I don't let them do it.
We are outsourcing things to Martha who's coming in at and leaving it for. So we're doing the outsourcing anymore because, you know, with my own family, it also happened, Becca. We used to have somebody that helped us and something happened and she was not there anymore. They will always throw that, when Anna was here, we were not doing this. I said, but you must get it in your head now. Anna is not here anymore. That's your room. You must take accountability and responsibility of your room.
Yeah.
It's not Anna's room.
And, you know, I'm just looking at a chapter in your book, Boy, Child, You Matter. And I just happened to turn to the page. I think it's page 90 where it says, How to Treat a Girl Child, a Dummy's Guide for Teenage Boys on How to Respect Girls. And I feel that is so long gone out the window from what I see. I mean, I have a son who's 10. He's in primary school. I have a daughter who's in high school at the moment. She's 13. And when I look sometimes at especially the teenage boys who come out the gates, and I just look at, you know, just some of, and you can hear the conversations because you're sitting there waiting for your child to come out. And you hear some of the conversations and you hear some of the interactions. And I just wonder, you know, where did you learn that? Where did you learn to be like this? How do you speak to a girl that way?
100%. You know, I always tell my children, I said, Aisha, you as a girl, you need to be prepared. You know, when a boy child comes to you, you need to be prepared. You know, your room must be clean, this must be clean. And a boy child is coming. So as parents, we need really to take accountability, responsibility for our children, because sometimes I'm preparing my daughter, you know, for that so-called young man coming into his life. And that young man is coming into his life was never taught the way I taught my daughter. So both of us must have responsibility to make our children ready for one another. Kids just nowadays, it's I don't know if we lost it or if we missed the ball, Iveka, is that I don't think we are in control as parents anymore, even if we try so hard.
Look, and I battle as well. I mean, I battle, I must admit as well, I mean, with everything that goes on in our lives, I do battle to sort of keep tabs on things, and I do drop the ball a lot of the time. And I also say things that I don't mean to in a moment of anger, in a moment of hurt as well. And that's very difficult to control. I mean, we're human. Stuff just comes out, you know, especially if you're a passionate person. But the thing is, it is very difficult to be a child. We have to acknowledge that as well. It's very difficult to be a child in 2022. And I would imagine being a boy as well and having to deliver all of this as a boy. And to be all of this as a boy as well. And they're having to learn very young, younger than I think what we, you know, they had to 20 years ago, how to treat a woman. But we have to start
and
that young.
It's very hard. And they are having it very, very hard, because of the interactions that are coming out there is that, you know, actually we are not, we don't matter. You know, like the book of my title said, Boy Child Who Matter.
Yes.
But according to them, they don't matter.
And
they are just there.
And why is that?
Like I said, I think the balance, we have missed the balance. We're still living in the past that, you know, men are the providers, men are the hunters, men are the this, and this. And we forgot that, you know, and boys don't cry, you know, tigers don't cry. We forgot that we're dealing with emotions. I'm suppressing that emotions. I'm keeping it inside. And I'm going to vent it out, you know, at the wrong place. When that is coming, then suddenly I'm going to become something like anyone. So I believe that our school curriculum needs to be rewritten and bring humanity, you know, caring, you know, all those things back into our curriculum from school level.
Yeah. And, you know, when you talk about school level, I want to go back to that chapter, Dummy's Guide for Teenage Boys on How to Respect Girls. And just humor me, because I want to go through the points there very quickly. It says, treat girls as human, because that is what they are. You know, they breathe and they have feelings. Your words and actions can cause lasting damage. Think before you speak and act. Then you've got no slut shaming. That's number two. Girls have the right to wear whatever they like without fear of being sexually assaulted. What they are wearing or the fact that they enjoy sex is not an invitation for you to make unwanted sexual advances. And let's be honest about it. This is happening at a very young age as well. And don't speak about or to a girl in slut shaming terms. When a girl says no to anything, she means no. Girls are equal to you in brain power, which goes to what you're saying. When a man feels less than if a girl, you know, is slightly more knowledgeable than he is at some point. Many girls love to have fun and party. This does not mean you can come on to them or make sexual advances when they are drunk or high. Girls are not here on this earth for your pleasure. They are not sexual objects. It may be news to you, but they do not like catcalling, gossiping with others about their bodies or appearance. Pornography is not real. And there again, our kids have access. Our boys have access, as do our girls. And those are the expectations they have. That is a big problem as well as to how they view women. Do not tell a girl you love or like her. Get her to take a naked selfie and then post it on the internet. And that is shocking, because that is happening again with very, very young people. Do not take pictures of girls without their permission. And I don't think a lot of our young men actually know that one. Do not take pictures of a girl without their permission. Do not post such photos on the internet. Yes. And lastly, be a kind, good human being to all other human beings, including girls. And I think that for me was one of the most important ones, is being a kind human being, not just whether you differentiate between a boy or a girl, but being a good human being. And that's where it starts.
Being a good human being. Yes. Even, you know, I was telling the boys, even your grannies, if you see a granny struggling, you know, carrying plastic bags or everything, be that human being that will go and say, granny, let me help you. Let's go back to the basics where we really show that humanity.
Yeah.
You know, Rebecca.
And do you think that we sometimes, Charlie, that as women, we confuse our boys? I mean, my young man at the age of 10, he does open car doors. He will come and help me take stuff from the boot after I've done shopping. He will take my plate away to the kitchen if we've been sitting and having something, or if we've been having a snack in front of the TV or whatever it is. He will do that. Mm. But yet there are some women or some girls who say, I don't want that. I don't want you to open my door for me. I don't want you to do things that I'm capable of doing for myself. So do we, in some ways, confuse them as well?
I think we confuse you. Just be, you know, grateful and say, thank you for opening the door for me.
Mm.
So because that thing needs to be implanted that he needs to do it not only for you, but for the next person and the next person. So I know that, you know, sometimes a woman wants to feel known. I'm in control. I'm in charge.
Yeah.
You can't do this. No, if I'm the gentleman and I'm opening the door for you, let it be. Just say thank you. Nothing will happen to you. Nothing will go off from you.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I mean,
so that we can keep it like this.
And you know, the feminist in us always wants to say, I can do that for myself. I really don't need a man to be doing this. We get offended when that happens. But I would imagine, and now that I actually sit here thinking about it, that is very confusing, I suppose, for some young men. What exactly do you want from me? Do we give mixed signals as women?
Yes, what is expected from me?
Yeah. Yes, Charlie.
Humanity, sorry, Rebecca, are coming from both men and women. I think when you see something good, appreciate it.
Yeah.
No matter what, yes. And but sometimes, you know, we were not used to those things happening to you, you know. Maybe you were raised in a way that somebody never opened the door for you.
Yeah.
And always opened the door. But let it be. Say thank you. That's all.
So the boys that you deal with at your foundation, Charlie, and the boys that you've dealt with over the years, if you're allowed to give us some insight into just what their approach to life is, what their approach to relationships is, relationships with girls and women.
Yes. Firstly, like I said, most of them are so negative. And also, because they are from fatherless backgrounds, or the father was abusing the mother, Yuveka.
Mm.
So it's stuck in his head, you know, that, hey, this is the way that, I need to raise my wife, or I need to add to my wife. So it's difficult to crack through them and say, you know, you need to be yourself. Mm. Forget about what you saw or what you experienced. Who are you? That's why one of our courses, we ask, you know, who am I? Identity.
Mm. Mm.
You're not your father, and your father is not you.
Absolutely.
So find yourself. You know, where do you see yourself? Find the role model.
Yeah.
Don't look at role models, that somebody that's smoking, you know, things that will not make you normal are not role models, because your life is going to end very short.
Mm.
Look at positive role models in life. So most of them change, you know, most of them come back and said, you know, I think I'm going to be a better person. It's like, you know, when we were there in Perth, Sunday, you know, boys said, we're taking a pledge. When we meet again in 6 months, we're going to tell you another story. Oh. We're going to make things different.
That's amazing. Charlie, you stay with us. That's Charlie Peterson, the founder of Growing Up Without a Father Foundation, also the author of books like Boy Child, You Matter and Growing Up Without a Father. We're talking about teaching our boys how to relate to and have relationships and how to treat their women better. That's what we're doing here on Women's Day. It is just a little after 1:30.
Cheers to all the strong women.
May we raise more like them.
Happy Women's Day from 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Good afternoon. If you've just joined us on this Women's Day, I'm Yuveka Rangapa in for Relebohile Mabotja this afternoon. And we're taking a little bit of a different take on Women's Day. We're having a chat with Charlie Peterson. He's the founder of Growing Up Without a Father Foundation, also the author of books such as Boy Child, You Matter and Growing Up Without a Father, because we're talking to him about raising boys to treat girls better and have better relationships with the women in their lives. If you have a comment or you want to send us a note, 07 0702-702-1702. That is our WhatsApp line. If you want to have a chat with us, or you want to have a chat with Charlie, you have something you want to tell him or ask him, 011-883-0702 is the number to dial. And it'll be wonderful just to get some insight from him if you're battling particularly with an issue with your son or a boy in your life. I think Charlie is very well experienced because he's been doing this for many, many years, dealing with young boys who don't have father figures mostly in their lives. But he's well qualified because Charlie Peterson is everyone's dad, it seems. So, Charlie, you've been doing this for a very long time. You have workshops with these boys who don't have father figures in their lives. And I want to know from you, if you are able to tell us, what do their moms tell you when they come to sort of, you know, do those little workshops with you, when the boys come? What do they tell you that they're struggling most with when it comes to their sons or raising their sons?
Most of them will tell you that discipline is the first thing. They're not listening. You know, they're just going their way. But I also said, you know, the book helps a lot, Rebecca, for mothers also to understand how boys think. You know, as I always advise the mothers, first read the book, mother, before you give it to your son. I think most of the things, especially when, you know, I've seen it with myself. I never had a father figure in my life, you know, when I went to school. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that most of us, you know, that grew up without fathers are the ones struggling with discipline at school. They don't listen to a teacher, especially, you know, a woman teacher or a man teacher, and forgetting that, because the teacher need to find out, you know, who am I dealing with? Mm-hmm. So what we do, usually we had a session where, well, who am I? You know, we'll put a picture there in front and said, you know, who are the person that you don't want in your comfort zone, who want to push back out of your comfort zone. That is an individual course that they do maybe for 15, 20 minutes where they zoom in to themselves. Then when you look at it, after that, then you'll see who are you dealing with. I think what is important is that before we criticize or be hard on them, we just need to find out who are you. Like the one mom said to me, I've spent everything. I'm a single mother. My child went to one of the best schools, but still, he don't appreciate me and everything. I said, Mom, how's your approach every time when you get home? You're always on him. Yeah. On him, you know. All your anger and your frustrations, you're taking it on him. What about taking your boy out for coffee? You know, don't chat about a lot of things. You know, son, what's going on in your life?
Yeah.
Well, you know, how are you?
And
so we put money into him and his schoolwork and everything, and we expect that great things need to happen. No, money cannot change things like that.
Yeah, and you know, I even said to my boy this morning, I said, you know, son, I actually think we need a mommy Sunday. We do a lot of mom-daughter days and daddy-daughter days.
Yes.
We don't do a lot of mommy Sundays, just like a date with your own son, eh?
Yes.
And that's so needed. All right. Well, Ivan in Kensington wants to have a chat with us, Charlie. Let's say hi to Ivan. Hi there, Ivan.
Hi. It's such a lovely topic. It's such a real topic. It is such a topic that is relevant in what we are doing today in this world. This world is an exact situation it is or finds itself in because of the lack of attention, the lack of love, the lack of giving a little bit of that motherly love or the fatherly love. When I heard you saying that you wrote a note and your son like, Mom, this is a little too much, I want to encourage you. Yeah. That's one of the nicest things you can do for your children is to make a fuss over them. It's a boy's thing to be the cussies, you know. And, you know, Mom, I don't like it. But let me tell you, when that guy walks around there and nobody else gets that little note that his mommy gets to him every day, I can tell you he walks around with his head up high. And one thing we can never, ever have enough of is love, especially a mother's love. But also I want to encourage your husband to get involved and let him know that he's got a son, and his son must know that he's got a father. If we think of a skyscraper, when you build a skyscraper, you better have your foundation strong. The deeper you go down, the higher the building can go. And in the same breath with love, the deeper love you insert into your children's lives, the younger they are, and as they grow up,
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, it can only bear fruit in the future.
Yes. Yeah. And Ivan, you know, just on that note, and yeah, his dad is very involved. I mean, he's a wonderful dad. And, you know, they absolutely. And you know, he always telling my son, do you know how much your mom does for you? And, you know, you really need to. Yes. We're telling both the kids as well. So I'm very lucky that way. And I sometimes have to wonder if, you know, boys just react the way they think they're supposed to react. And it's not, you know, that wasn't really what you were feeling at the time. But, oh, you know, I'm a little guy now. Should this be making me feel all warm and fuzzy inside, you know? So that might be a thing also.
What I wanted to say is the following. I can speak with experience from a point of, you know, we come from a very broken family as such. As a little boy, I can't remember a time with my mom and dad around the table. I was 3 when they got divorced. So you grow up in that type of environment. And I remember when I went to school, I became a bully. Oh. And I went and I looked at people who came from a good home. When the mommy or daddy who used to pick them up from school, I would target these kids and make their lives hell because I so wanted it. I so needed it. Yeah. And today, I'm like Charlie. I go out and I'm sharing the reality of a changed life.
But that's great that you share those stories. You know? And that's great that you open yourself up like that.
Yes, keep it up. Keep it up.
All right. Thanks, Ivan. Thank you so much. And Charlie, and it's great that people use their experiences and that someone like Ivan acknowledges who he became because of his circumstances and uses it for the greater good at the moment. Let's take a listen to some voice notes that we've received on the subject as well.
Okay. Hi, Uveka. Just in terms of this, I'm so glad that the conversation is being had at the right place. This has been coming for many, many years. The plight of young boys and absent fathers. And this does breed a generation of young men that are angry and therefore act out their anger on their spouses, on their girlfriends, on females in general. And one may say, well, that's not an excuse, but it is a reality. This thing has to be unpacked and looked at in a very big way. Absent fathers is a big problem.
Absolutely, Charlie. And I think we've spent many, many years, you know, focusing on raising our daughters properly, not to be walked over, not to be doormats, not to be victims.
Yes.
That we haven't, I feel, and this is just my opinion, that we haven't put enough emphasis on our boys and what's happening inside of them.
Not at all. Not at all. You know, Uveka, I said to myself, because I've released the documentary, you still need to get a copy of it on fatherlessness. Ne? I've also had Jerry Mufukeng there. I've also had St. Mia's. The cry is big, you know, for involvement of fathers, involvement, you know, of role models in our lives.
Mm.
So, Uveka, you know, I told my kids yesterday, hey, I'm going to be on 702. I'm going to chat about this. I need your honest opinion about me. Can you rate me? I'm going to read it in front of South Africa, what all my kids are saying.
Ooh, that's brave, Charlie.
If I'm a useless dad, tell me. So it came now. The first one is Galio. The youngest, he said, I've learned that I have to take responsibility and accountability of my actions, and that you have to take risks in life no matter what. That's Galio now.
Okay.
Now, My daughter-in-law, Megan, said, you are the greatest teacher and you are always wise and knowledgeable. Dependability, being there through thick and thin. This is not just being present and correct. It is about being consistent, available for us as your kids through good times and bad times.
Yeah.
And they said involvement, being personally engaged in our lives, interests, hopes, and dreams on a daily basis. You are the best and make me strive better. I can honestly and openly speak to you at any time. This is now Megan, my daughter-in-law.
That's amazing.
Now, thank you, Aisha, now my daughter, the only daughter, you know, of the three boys. He said that real love comes from you, Dad, before any man. So that's what Aisha said, that real love come from you, Dad, before any man. And you see, Uveka, what we are sitting with the blessings and the blessings and everything. A lot of girls
girls are looking for affirmation. You know,
yes.
Girls grew up without fathers. So they're meeting all these horrible men that are raping them and that are using them because those men are telling them, I love you.
Yeah, they it's that word, hey?
That word, I love you. Yes. I love you now. And the other side, Sherrod said, humble yourself, treat everyone with respect and honesty. This is what I always tell them, that you just be yourself and be, you know, and do what is best.
And I think on that note of honesty, it just struck something. It's you can be honest without hurting somebody's feelings, though. And that is where I think women are a little more sensitive. Most, as far as I know, I could be wrong. There are some who aren't that sensitive. But and we're talking about boys now. Yes, by all means, be honest. Be honest and speak your truth about a situation, but you can do it without really digging a knife into someone. And I mean that sort of symbolically, not literally.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. And you know, Charlie, we also, the conversation goes back to households where there isn't a male figure, and we have, you know, people thinking, okay, if there was a divorce, of course the son is going to turn out to be a rotter, or this is what's going to happen. But I know of many cases where men have come from families, broken marriages, broken families, have gone through the most horrific childhood traumas, but they haven't turned out to be monsters. They've actually turned out to be the most wonderful husbands and fathers. And then you have others who come from very well-rounded households. The parents were together till whenever, you know, for however many years. But they cannot have decent relationships. So, you know, we must also be wary of boxing our boys and our men that way into those sort of categories.
And I think, you know, the first one that you put on the table, you know, I always told myself, Rebecca, at the age of 5, you know, when I looked at my uncle, they used to drink a lot and fight a lot. And I said, you know, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be out of control. So I told myself as a 5-year-old, this is the life that I wanted to be. And also, you know, the biggest danger is that most of us are saying, I don't want to be like my father. And I said to kids, you cannot be like someone that you don't know, that, you know, that never played a role in your life. So you hear what people said, that's how your father was, and now you're also turning to be like him.
Yeah.
No, find yourself, find your own character. You know, you can build your character from good role models, you know, that you read about and see about. That's where you said that most people are coming from horrible conditions and upbringings, but they become the best.
Yes.
I think they told themselves that I'm not going to take anything that I've heard about what happened. I'm going to look at something beautiful in front of me. This is who I am going to be. Then sometimes you think that people are having it all, Rebecca. Oh, look at the beautiful car. Look at the great car. Look at the top job and everything. Then you don't know what's happening behind the four walls of the house. Yes.
And, you know, as somebody who is, you're a father to sons yourself, and you had a wonderful message from your daughter-in-law there. I mean, I also have had colleagues and friends who, their sons are teenagers. Yes, girls come home or they go over to girls' houses. And I come from a very old school family where, you know, don't bring somebody home unless you're going to marry them, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and that was fine in those days. Things were different back then, but things are different now. And I'd like your take on encouraging relationships at an early age, so that, you know, we want our children to end up in relationships if they don't have to. Being in a relationship is not the be-all and end-all. Being in a marriage is not the be-all and end-all of everything. You can be very happy by yourself. But those who want to be with someone, those who are made for that type of relationship, we want them to have long, happy marriages or relationships or living arrangements, however it works. So what do you tell these young boys about having relationships at the age of 12 or 13 or having a girlfriend? How do you help them navigate that? Is it an absolute no-no for you? You wait till you're 16, 17, 18? What are the conversations you have with them around that?
I think what we talk about is that be friends, you know one another, you know, who are you, where do you come from and everything. Talk a lot. Because at that age, you know, sometimes, you know, if I look at statistics nowadays, Rebecca, what's happening, girls of 8 years are getting pregnant, girls of 10 years are getting pregnant. And if one look at what's happening in South Africa, is that it's not only the boys that are making them pregnant, it's also the older people that are making the 10-year-olds and the 14-year-olds pregnant. And I think we are so, how can I say, vulnerable as a country with all this information that we are getting. You know, that, you know, sex on TV just happened. You know, when you open the channel, you see it.
Yeah.
And then kids will like to experiment. You know, kids will like to experiment.
Yeah.
I think some years ago, six-year-olds were raping a four-year-old
Yeah, yeah, there were those stories, yes.
Yes, there were those stories. So I'm a little bit worried about that. You know, where are those days that you can play? Just play.
Yeah.
You know, the girl is playing dolls with her, play dolls with her, everything. Don't go that serious route of the road.
Innocence. Innocence seems to have been lost.
Yes, yes. That's my suggestion. So I think we have to take time, and even people getting into marriages, we need to know who is this person, where do they come from. Go spend time in their you know, history, and they must also spend time in your history,
in their space.
That, you know, yes, in their space. So we have to know one another.
All right. Well, we've got a Pale from Mabopane who has something to say. Hi there, Pale.
Yes.
Hi, Pale. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Iveka. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. It is Pale, right?
Yes, that's Pale.
Pale.
Hello to my friend Charlie.
Hi, Pale.
You know this is Pale Nake. You remember?
This is Pale Nake. Salute, my leader.
How are you, my leader?
I'm good.
Thank you very much for the great work that you are doing.
Iveka,
Charlie would know that I'm also a reverend.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes when you are a reverend and leading a flock, you would identify that this boy child who, according to your observation, would need help.
Yes.
Mm.
But when you start to open up and try, the boy backs off. And then you approach the parents and say, but I've noticed something with this boy. I think he needs help.
Yes.
Mm. And then the parents themselves started to create this barrier. But it then becomes difficult to access the boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it then also becomes difficult to try and help the boy because parents create this barrier and they will tell you that there's nothing wrong with my boy.
Because I think, Pale and Charlie, I think what happens then, speaking as a parent myself, is that you kind of feel like you failed. It makes you feel like a failure when that has to happen. And I think that's understandable, but parents need to understand what somebody else is seeing from the outside, because sometimes we're very close to the problem, and I say that in air quotes.
You won't see the problem because you're very close to it.
And
Yeah.
And how do you deal with that, Pale? Do you just leave it?
No. I haven't left it. I have ways of trying. You know, when they would not want to communicate with me or continue to create the barrier, I would get somebody whom they are very comfortable. You know, in the church, you'll realize that, no, this family is close to this one.
Yeah.
And perhaps I can use that family to go through and get a hearing from that family.
Mm-hmm.
And it sometimes helps because, you know, parents and people have a way of being comfortable to speaking to somebody else that they are close to than whom they can call a stranger. But I've tried it that way and it helped. It has helped. I managed to get access to the family through others.
Oh, excellent. And I think it takes a bit of patience as well. But it's great work that you both do, Pale, in your work as a reverend and Charlie as well. I think just patience is also a key, I think, especially when the harder you push, the harder you get pushed back, I suppose, when you try to approach a situation like that. So I think a softer touch and just patience goes a long way. Well, thanks, Pale, very much. And I'm glad we were able to reunite you and Charlie to say hi to
you. Charlie, my friend, keep well and continue doing a good job.
Thank you, friend. Same to you.
Thanks, Pale. And Charlie, I mean, it's so nice of Pale to call in, and it just reminds us to actually talk about, you know, the institutions that can actually make a difference. The institutions in a boy's life, and I'm not just talking about church and school. Other institutions, whether it's their group of gaming friends, whether, you know, whatever other clubs, or whether it's the soccer coach, or whether it's the golf coach, or whoever it is, everybody plays a part in raising that little
everybody
boy.
Everybody plays a part. Yeah. Everybody plays a part that you meet along the way, Yuveka. So that's so much important that we have to switch on, you know, as a leader, even a teacher at school. You need to know that, you know, you're just not only a teacher. You're also a father to someone that don't have a father somewhere sitting there. So I always said, know who is sitting in front of you or who are you speaking to. So we need to know who are we dealing with. Mm. That is very, very key. Because a word can also, you know, finish somebody's future.
Yes.
You can say
yes.
Something wrong and that person will never recover again.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we have to watch what we say, because the things that we actually think don't stick. And even saying sorry sometimes, you know, son, I shouldn't have said that. It's already in there. It's too late. It's already, it's gone in. It's absorbed. Eh? And we really need to be careful.
Sorry, if you speak to a lot of children now, they will tell you, you know, that teacher, my math teacher, 20 years ago told me I'll never make it. Even Steve Harvey will tell you that, you know, you stutter a lot, and the teacher told him you'll never be on television. Oh. Please be careful with your words.
Mm. Well, on the other hand, it could spur you on to prove somebody wrong, but that's not everyone. That's not everyone.
No, it can hurt.
All right, Charlie, in 30 seconds, I just want you to have a last bit of advice that you want to give to our parents out there and our young men.
To our parents out there, parents, I think let's play our role as parents. Never lose hope. Never give up. And if you want to give up, get help. There's a lot of people that can help you with your child. Don't just keep it, because sometimes you push too hard as a parent. And when you give up, everything breaks up. Please get help. And for the boys and the girls up there, let's start respecting our parents. Our parents are going through a lot of challenges. Our parents are under pressure, like you are under pressure as children. Mm. So let's help one another. Let's find one another. Let's build around one another.
All right. Charlie Peterson, a pleasure as always. Thank you so much for your time, and keep doing
Thank
the amazing you. Work you are doing. Thanks so much for joining
You're
us.
Welcome.
Well,
Thank you so much.
And we received this poem, and I think it'll be lovely to end with this one.
Good day, beautiful kings and queens of 702, with our beautiful queens in the studio. A blessed Women's Day and month to all women of 702. I wrote a poem for you, darlings. It goes like this. Women are given to listen and to make the nation risen. We are in the position to change every bad condition and to show the opposition we not their competition. Let's show the boy how to bring and feel joy. Tell him it's wrong to destroy. He is our future Roy. Encourage boys to cry. No need to feel shy. With every try, they will feel so fly. To feel complete, we need to delete and defeat hatred obsolete. The world need our powerful concrete. No time to retreat. We have the power to defeat any cheat. Prayer is our greatest threat. I salute you, queens, and God bless you all. Mwah, mwah. This is your Kimberlite in Pretoria.